bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Live in Word with Pastor Mensah Otterbill. And now, today's word.
Few things I want to bring to your notice. First is that leadership develops from the heart. Leadership develops from the heart. God looks to the heart. Leadership does not develop in seminar rooms and workshops. It's not an academic degree. It's a heart thing. You can have all the degrees in the world. If it's not in your heart, it's not there. You don't judge a leader by how many degrees they have, which school they went to, who is their friend, who they talk to. What has that got to do with leadership? Is his heart right? Because when you find a person whose heart is right, you can always teach his hand. But if you get somebody whose heart is wrong, nothing works. Because they would use their intelligence to pervert every responsibility you give them. Don't overrate intelligence and academic work and degrees. They have some value. But God says to Samuel, I have refused Eliab. Eliab is a soldier. He has the bearing. He has all the, you know, the physical qualities that Samuel himself looks at him and says, surely this is the guy. And God says, no, I looked into his heart. It's empty. I look at what he does when nobody's watching. I look at what drives him. I look at what his passion is about. I look at his attitude. I can't use him. Leadership is of the heart. If you want to develop leadership, don't develop it in seminars. Develop the heart of the leader. If you have the heart of the leader, you will learn the skills of the leader. Because there are so many people who have learned leadership principles and they talk about it and spew it out and principle 101 and 201 and 401 and this is that and quote and quote and quote and quote and quote. But the heart is wrong. It's not about quotations. Anybody can memorize anything. Anybody can pass an exam. There are atheists who are able to get a degree in theology. Because it's just learning. Just having a degree in something doesn't mean you know it in your heart. So leadership develops from the heart. God looks for leadership in our hearts. I just want to encourage you. Yes, we will have seminars, we will have workshops, but remember, that will not make you a leader if your heart is wrong. It will actually make you a crook because you're going to take all those principles and misapply them. The heart must be right. And the heart of the leader is the heart of a shepherd. The second important thing we learn from David, apart from the fact that leadership develops from the heart, is that the skills of leadership are transferable. The skills of leadership are transferable. This is so powerful. Now, when God speaks to Samuel, he didn't say, go to the house of Jesse, I have a shepherd. He says, go to the house of Jesse, I have a king. Has David been king before? No. Has he been a king apprentice? No. Has he been a deputy king before? No. Has he tried to be king before? No. Has he seen a king before? Maybe. Has he lived around kings before? No. Has he been a palace before? No. But God says, I have a king. And then Samuel looks, where is the king? He's with a sheep. What is it about sheep and king? Because the principles he used in shepherding the flock are the same principles he's going to use in leading the nation. Leadership principles are transferable. That is why a carpenter can become a leader if he knows how to carpent well. Great leaders do not necessarily emerge from the political class. Great leaders can emerge from the fishing world, from the farming world, definitely from the teaching world, from the doctoring world, from the nursing world, because God looks at your attitude towards what you are doing to determine how you're going to handle the greater responsibility. And he saw David's attitude. What does a good shepherd do? He lays down his life for the sheep. What did David do? The lion and the bear comes against his sheep. Every normal shepherd will say, well, it's just one sheep. It's okay. Let the lion eat it. After all, I have other sheep. But he says, I went after it. What kind of a human being is that? And then he says, the lion then turned their focus from the sheep and they rose against me. In other words, I put myself in the way. And when the lion rose against me, I caught it by the beard and smote it. And he says, if I can do that and put myself in the way for sheep, I will put myself in the way for Israel. And God looked at that man and says, I have found myself a king. He's never been deputy king, but he's been a good shepherd. He understands the principle and he can transfer that principle. Leadership principles are transferable. Sometimes in the leading of a nation, politicians try to exclude other people from participating in the leadership of a nation. They'll say, well, you are a pastor, stay in your corner, don't talk. Well, you are this, don't talk. You are this, don't talk. Well, David was a shepherd. He has he been king before? No, deputy king? Is his uncle king? Has he ever shaken the hand of a king before? No. But God says the principles he has successfully used here can truly shepherd a nation. So many times when you are looking for people to do things, you are not looking exactly for people with the technical competence in a particular area, but people who have excelled and have shown how to excel, because those principles are transferable. And if you put them in any system, all they have to learn is a technical skill, but the heart will be right. Leadership skills are transferable. And in my study of leaders, I've seen people who have come from absolutely every field and have become leaders. Farmers, doctors, engineers, people from all fields have become great leaders. I've seen people who have been successful in one field transfer the same principle to another field. Footballers, football coaches, it's all leadership skills. And if you have the right principle, you can transfer it. Third, that what you do unseen prepares you to be seen. What you do unseen prepares you to be seen. David said, your servant killed both lion and bear, and now I'm going to take on this big public enemy. Nobody saw the killing of the lion and bear. If you want every achievement of yours to be noticed by people, you would never discover leadership. But what you do unseen will prepare you for the seen. There will come a time where the private skills you have developed will become public trophies to be celebrated. And that's why in developing leadership is the heart. It's not whether people see you, everybody watch me, you know, nobody sees where I am, I'm in this corner. If you're really doing the right thing, you will be discovered. You will be discovered. And when you step out, people would know you've truly been preparing all these years. So, how do we change from being hirelings to become shepherds? How can a person who is hired work like a good shepherd? Now, majority of us are hired by somebody. You work for a company, you work for a business, you work for an enterprise. Each one of us works for somebody. Only a few people are self-employed and run their own businesses. But even they have to learn to be good shepherds and not treat their business as a hireling, because there are people who own their own business, but they treat the business as if they are a hireling. And they kill the sheep very quickly and eat it. So how do you transfer? Let's say you are working in, where do people work? Maybe you're working in Ministry of Health or Ministry of Mobilization. Why are you laughing? You don't want to work at Ministry of Mobilization or Ministry of Local Government. You know, I started working, my first workplace was the civil service. And the civil service of Ghana, I suppose like the civil service everywhere, has a lot of catching up to do. Attitudes are not good at all. And there's no real commitment to the work. I understand, because those days, you know, I think it's still the same, civil servants are not paid well. So it's very easy to develop a hireling mindset when you work in a place like that. The bad thing is you will carry it wherever you go, and so you would never graduate beyond that. So you have to learn, even if you work in the worst environment, that you have to overcome the hireling mentality. And I'm going to talk about five things you need to do to transition. One, you have to see your work as your heritage. Your work is your heritage. Your work and the skills you develop are yours. You see, if I am an accountant at Ministry of Mobilization, accounts clerk, and I become lazy and cheat, those character traits are mine. It's not for Ministry of Mobilization. When I leave mobilization and work anywhere, that is what I'm carrying with me. So you have to now see that you are actually not working for the company. You're working for yourself. You're not working for government. You're working for yourself. Whatever character traits, skills you're developing, they are part of you. They are not part of the company. When you leave with your expertise. Don't sabotage yourself. If you learn to go to office late in the ministries, in the civil service, you will go to office late wherever you are employed. If you don't learn all the right habits, you carry them with you. Your work is your heritage. It's your life. You go for interview, nobody employs you because your attitude stinks. Where did you get a stinking attitude from that company? Did they treat you well? No, but you were building your heritage. Don't stink. Your work is your heritage. It's your brand. You carry it wherever you go. That's what David did. Secondly, you have to serve from your heart. I know in some places it's difficult to serve from the heart because the people you are working for are heartless. But remember, it's about you. Serve from your heart. Be genuine, be sincere in what you do. Don't cheat, don't cut corners. Don't just try to play games. It's going to hurt you. Serve from your heart. Learn real heart service. Be genuine. Go to work on time. Everybody comes late. Go to work on time. When I used to work in the civil service, by 11 o'clock, people are coming to the office. Especially Monday morning, you know. Monday morning, people used to, I don't know whether it still happens, but this is in the 70s. And, you know, you go to the office and 11 o'clock, people are showing up. And they come to show up and they start talking about lotto numbers. I'm telling you. And this is what, and this number came, and this shadow number didn't come, and all that goes on and on and on. And then by 2 o'clock, they're leaving. Because we're not paid. Well, sometimes you work for 3 months, your salary hasn't been paid. But you didn't come at 11 even because you were working somewhere. But you were just lazy. Thing is, those people get stuck there forever. You know why? Because they don't have any employable skills anybody will want. Why? Because they allow the environment to shape their attitude. You have to see you yourself are your business. If you are called Mensotable, you are Mensotable Incorporated. If you are called Kwamiata, you are Kwamiata Incorporated. You work for Ministry of Mobilization, but you are Kwamiata Incorporated working at Ministry of Mobilization. Whatever you are building for Kwamiata Incorporated. You are building skills, you're building attitudes, you're building lifestyles, you're building worldviews that you carry with you wherever you go. Serve from your heart, even if your employer is heartless. Sacrifice for the greater good. Sacrifice. Pay the price. Don't just look for reward. Make an investment. Sometimes you have to work to create the income to pay your salary. Especially people who work for private people. And they think, well, you know, I haven't been paid. Well, if you haven't been paid, you ask yourself, have we generated any income? If there's no income, there can be no pay. Pay is premised on revenue, income. So instead of just complaining about they don't pay us, ask, have I generated any revenue? I remember when I started working, one man came to me, very experienced in my office. And he says, Mr. Otabla, I don't understand what you are, the way you work. You're doing everything sharp, 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 sharp. He says, yeah, we don't work that way. This work you've been giving, you have to wait. You have to do it. Small. Then 3 months from now, you finish. Then they bring you another one. But they bring it, you finish. Well, that's why I'm here. Because I carried myself and my values and my entrepreneurial mindset wherever I go, whether I'm working for somebody or pastoring. That's why I'm not going to sit here, ring the church, be online for people to attend church. No, we go out and make them come. All right, so sacrifice for the greater good. Seek to add value, number 4. And number 5, stop the wolves who destroy. When your company, your business, your industry is under attack, fight for the company. Don't run. One of the saddest habits I think we've developed in this part of the world is we work in a place and destroy it. You go to a hairdresser to dress your hair, and after you leave, one of the hairdressers comes to you and says, Madam, what they charge you is too much. And she's forgetting she gets her salary from what was charged. So now, I will come and do it for you. You think you're being smart? You're sabotaging yourself. You are a hireling. You never graduate beyond that. Because you have not built loyalty in your spirit, nobody will be loyal to you. If you work in a place, give it all. Give it all. Don't criticize the person you work for. Anytime you feel you can't tell him what you think in the face, then it's time to leave. But don't stay in a system and criticize it. Because that is the fountain you drink from. You can't stay and muddy the fountain and say the water is dirty. You dirtied it. If you have an opinion, go and talk to management. Express your opinion. But don't stay and backbite. Don't get 3 workers meeting together and destroying your employer. If he had not given you a job, you'd be out there with your certificate looking for a job and nobody employed you. Some of you have university degrees. You spent 3 years, nobody employed you until that woman employed you. You say she's paying you peanuts. You were getting stones before she gave you peanuts. We so quickly forget. She may not be literate, she may not have education, but she worked and employed you with your degree. When you couldn't take care of yourself, they created opportunity for you. Work with them. Give your heart. We will learn later from David. When he's working for Saul, Saul wants to kill him, he's giving his heart. The man wants to kill him, he's giving his heart. The man wants to kill him, he's giving his heart. Because David's eye is not on Saul's attitude, it's on his own destiny. He's on his own destiny. You want to kill me, but I'll give you my best. You want to kill me, I'll give you my best. You come to, and then God finally places him in leadership. It's a heart thing. It's good to learn. It's good to go for the seminars. It's good to get all the information you'll get. But if your heart is right, wrong, you're going nowhere. And in my life, just studying people, I've seen extremely talented people who have achieved nothing. Very well talented. They know all the theory, but there's no achievement. They can give you point one to point 100. They can write a good proposal, a good essay, but they can't achieve anything. Most of the time I've realized there's something wrong with the heart. Wrong heart with a lot of information. It's like somebody who has not had his bath, who has put fragrance on himself. We call it POD, polish on dirt. And there are a lot of people like that in the corporate world, polish on dirt. The core is wrong. Because they have a hireling mentality, always undermining, always spreading stories, always trying to scheme their way up, always trying to work their way, always deceiving, always conniving, never arriving, never getting there. And you wonder why? Because if I have sheep, I'm looking for a genuine shepherd for my sheep. And if I can smell hireling 10 miles, I'm not going to employ you. Anybody who genuinely cares for what he's doing, the number one thing he's looking for in trying to get somebody to partner him is attitude. His attitude. It's your heart. As for the other skills, you can learn. Even now, computers are doing a lot of it for us. But it's your heart. Is your heart right? Finally, Luke chapter 16, verse 10 to 12. I'll run through this very quickly. He who is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in that which is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? The three tests of leadership or faithfulness here is the ways in which your heart will be tested. Faithfulness in little things. Little things, not big things, not big things. Little things. Things that seem insignificant. I'll touch a little bit on it next week. Faithfulness in little things. Faithfulness with money. You don't return the impress money. You take the money and you think everybody has forgotten. You don't return it. Steal. Make wrong requisitions. Faithfulness in money. Being good steward of the monies you have. And number three, faithfulness with other people's properties. How you take care of things that do not belong to you. government property, church property, family property, community property. It's not yours. How are you going to treat it? Most of when people are looking for positions, at the back of their mind, they are thinking of reward. Not what do I have to give, but what can I go and take? If your mind is what can I go and get or take, you are hiring. If your mind is what can I go and give to make it better, you are a shepherd. Judge yourself. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otterbill, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otterbill. Email otterbill@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.